The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Some of us have great stories. Noodle salad, good. Pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and good. Noodle salad, boats and friends and good. Noodle salad. But a lot of people, that's their story. Noodle salad. Boats and friends and boats and friends and good times. Noodle salad. Noodle salad. That's their story. Noodle salad. Noodle salad. Noodle salad. What makes it so hard is not that you had it bad, but noodle salad. Good. 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 That's their story. Noodle salad.
The Frank is on. The Frank is on. The Frank is on.
And if you missed that,
The Frank is on.
Hey, you monkey pilots taking trips to the moon. It's the Artist D, and you're listening to Frank Cotolo on Cotolo Chronicles. Download this broadcast and find hundreds more in archive at juicedtalk.com.
Scenery, just
toot my own horn, but, you know, when it comes to all those podcasts and other things that are going on out there, you know what they're lacking? Class. Did I say that? Okay, when it gets lower, I'll tell you. Amount of class that still exists in this world, and this show has it. You're welcome for the wonderful radio. Oh boy, more great stuff tonight from veterans of the microphone. True, my name is Frank Catolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show. Frequent and always always expected, yes, and appreciated guest Tom Savino with me. Once again, return to the Mondegreens, and I'll tell you all about that. Silver Leaf and some other things coming up. It's Catolo Chronicles. It's not about me. To Ice Cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello, and into every bordello. Here we are, just made it. Thank goodness for the weather. Thank goodness for the hot weather. I mean the fact that it got cool enough for us to be here. You know, we weren't here last week. What would that be? Warmed out? No, we were heated out. What would that be? How would we say that? We were warmed out. Let's call it warmed out. Warmed out because it gets very hot, and we are living and broadcasting. See, that's what got me to get to this topic here. Playing that particular tune, a version of a song called Mountain Greenery from Rodgers and Hart, maybe? It wasn't Hammerstein, it was Hart. Rodgers and Hart. One of those Rodgers and Hart plays, a very classy song, in terms of, you know, jazzy, classy. It's more jazzy and classy than it is, you know, Broadway. It was old Broadway. And there's a certain amount of that class which lingers into the cultural minds of people like me and my generation, some people who exist, and even the generation before me, who are rapidly evaporating as we speak. But, you know, that's just the circle of life. But this show, it dawned on me, we got something. We have something that a lot of these shows, most of them, these podcasts, I'm not criticizing them. They're of their era, and they do what they do, and they're modern. They're missing a little class. You know, we're not all... what's that guy's name? That Friedlander guy? The guy was on, 30 Rock. That, you know, who represents, is really a template for the sludgy, person, sludgy type of his generation. I know I'm getting sociologically here. And, sociopathic at the same time. No, not sociopathic. But now really, there's a certain amount of class that goes on in this show and continues to do that. What made me think of that was the song and the fact that we canceled because of the heat, because we are doing this broadcast, as we always have done it, in the natural weather. We're not air controlled, so it's kind of like we're doing it before it was able to be done any other way, you know? And then you got to go way back to the days of old radio. And there weren't, you know, air conditioned. There wasn't even, you know, in buildings where they had studios, it wasn't cool air pumped through. And these people were walking around with wearing a lot of clothing. Remember, men, I'm not saying this should be a good thing. The fedora, the age of the fedora for men, all men wore hats. That era, I don't know how it just ended, but it did. And we'll do a whole show on that one day. Speaking of whole shows, okay, so anyway, you know, I once in a while we have to toot our own horn here at Cthulhu Chronicles. Speaking of which, we're going to have Tom Savino on shortly, not briefly, but shortly. And he'll be cooler than I am. He always was, and he always will be. But coming up in August, or maybe even the beginning of September, hopefully we get this thing together. We're going to have a terrific guest, someone, and we're not going to tell you the whole story, but it's someone that Tom and I, in our Hollywood days, have a strange connection to, a fellow. We're going to have him on. He's written his memoir, and I imagine it's funny. He's 82 now, so he is the member of that next generation that I was talking about. Next, the ones that are rapidly evaporating. Wait a second, 82, he'd be, and I'm the one after that, and so is Tom. But a man named John Biner will be on this show live with me and Savina. And, figured I can, and he could, anyone can. If anyone can, you can. I wouldn't want to do the show without him. So that's going to be great. We'll keep you up to date with that. Now back to Mountain Greenery, which I played. Because not just because it's great, that's one of the best versions too. That version was out, but most recently in the score of a Woody Allen movie called Cafe Society. I don't know if you saw it, you probably didn't. You like how I just represented your habits of watching? Oh boy, don't even get me talked to watching. I don't want to get into this whole thing about my cable setup, which had, what an adventure I've had yesterday. I'm still having it right now, even as we speak. But it's okay. We got the show. The show is Cthulhu Chronicles. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. But it's not about me. It's about our pop culture. It's about how our pop culture seeps into our lives, even when we don't know it. No matter what we do, you don't even have to be a part of pop culture, you see. But I just felt like I had a revelation. Well, it was a revelation. What else would I call it? It was a revelation I had, and I brought it upon myself because I decided in the last, like I do all the time with this show, I decided in the last moments of putting the beginning of this show together and just stacking the files to do that, and then to add the little edited version of Jack Nicklaus, and who I don't know, don't like, even though you can like people you don't know. I mean, because, you know, I mean, he's just a golfer, and I'm not impressed. But what I mean is I meant Jack Nicholson. That's what I meant. And Jack Nicholson and a bunch of other stuff that was there. And then decided to play Mountain Greenery because we're going to talk, this is the return of the Mondegreens. We did a show a couple of weeks ago. We wish they weren't here last week. I don't know, whenever, it doesn't matter. You can get them all at juicetalk.com, as the artist D told you in the introduction of the collage. So what? So I think that what we should do is, I said to myself, is play something. Because I used in the, if you saw the CthulhuChronicles.blogspot.com, where you could go, or if you happen to see it on Facebook, the only time I go to Facebook, once a week. And once in a while I go there because some people still decide to only get in touch with me on Facebook. And I am certainly available to all of you at fcatolo@yahoo.com. I mean, why not dial direct? Because you're on Facebook, that's why. But I decided, Mondegreen reminded me, and it's funny too, because it is a Mondegreen. Mondegreenery, I said, and I used that as the headline. Mondegreenery, what does that mean? Well, it was, again, here's a song called Mountain Greenery, and we could make it into a song called Mondegreenery, Mondegreen being the topic of hearing words differently than they are spoken or sung. I say spoken because of poems. And the term itself comes from someone misinterpreting a poem line, a line in a poem. Oh, wow. We got to talk about mask heat. I got I just took my headphones off here for a second because they are swimming in my ears. Swimming in my ears, swimming in my ears. We'll get together, swimming. So, and you are welcome for the one, it's not just wonderful radio. That's what it is. I like calling it wonderful because who would say wonderful anymore? All right. The pop culture of today, which I'm just judging as, you know, a little classless. A little classless. What a horrible, horrible phrase to put in a sentence. Classless. You know, you can't be, that's classless. If class is defined how I'm putting it, and it can be. Want to look it up quickly? Class? Yeah, let's look it up so that we can make it. We got time. Tom's probably getting ready to eat or something. We look up class on our fabulous, and this too, right here. I like to use this old dictionary, as you know, from 1960, H-I-J-K-L, because that's how badly I was taught. I have to go find the letter in the alphabet. I got to A, B, C, D, F, G, H, right? You see the whole thing? That's a horrible way to learn something. What am I looking up? Clear. Clear? I'm not looking up clear. I'm looking up class. C-L-H-I-J-K-L. Class. H-I-J-K-L. Here. Class. Clandestine. Clank. Clank is a word. Don't you like? I tell you, it's great. It's great reading once in a while. Not just to learn new words, but just to see them, you know, see. Clarinet. We know the class, class, class. Here it is. Class. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Class is actually considered plural in a sense because it is a number of things or persons with a common characteristic. Okay, that's not the definition of the class I'm talking about, is it? No, let's see more. Here. A group of students to be promoted. Okay, a class, right. A group of students studying the same subject? No. There's another one right here. Class. To belong in a class. To assign to a class and to classify. Okay, so the class, so I'm talking about class. And that's right, that would be a weird way to put it. Class is not used even back then that way. It's to be in a class. So I'm talking about a certain class. I'm talking about the kind of class, oh boy. Now I don't want to do a whole show on this. I'm just trying to say that there's a certain bit of, let's look at it the other way. The podcasts that are out now are based on things that are more rude. And I know I've been rude. I can say rude things. I do say rude things. I just don't. It's not part of my deal here on the radio. Okay? And it's been that way from the beginning because, you know, they love it. The new people and the podcast people, because it's more, you know, it's how they speak. Their lexicon has a lot to do with F-bombs and more street stuff than it does class, which would be the opposite of that, you know? And so it's like if you play a song like I did and you hear Mountain Greenery, which could be Mondo Greenery. Say, I made it out of you. See what I did there? Okay, you know, now you got that whole thing. But what I'm saying is you hear that, and you hear another time, another era. You hear another generation. And then when you hear and get a sense of that generation, what you do is you apply the atmosphere, which includes a little bit, you know, some nice things, not rudeness. You know, then you know none of this is prepared at all. It's the opposite of the kind of class. You know, when people say, he's got class. And then when they do that, they don't mean, he really knows how to say the F-bomb. And boy, I love when he uses the C-word. And, you know, no one has a million tattoos. I'm not criticizing them yet. I guess I am in a way. But, I mean, it's just different. It conjures another type of atmosphere. And when you hear Mountain Greenery, you get a sense of that. You can feel, if, I don't know if you saw the movie, you didn't. I know, I told you, I don't know. I shouldn't say I don't know if you saw the movie because I already told you didn't. I know you haven't. So a certain, suit and tie, hat, dressing up. You see, there's a good thing for class. In class, you're dressed up, not just dressed. And casual has taken over a great deal of the kind of society that exists in contemporary, you know, podcast land. That's all I'm saying. And here, you know, we have I said a bit of class, right? I said I didn't even say this is a classy program because that, and it's not a program, it's a show. I didn't even say this is a classy show, but it does deal in a certain amount of that class, certain amount of things from those generations, that generation specific. Now those generations, it lasted a long time. Those generations of pop culture that, had their defined, distinct accoutrements. I shouldn't have used that word, but I'm trying to say details, features, elements about them that do not exist in today's world. That's all I'm saying. So we're kind of the lost patrol here. Ever see the Lost Patrol? I love that movie. Okay. I'm not going to go off under that tangent, but it's a little classy. That's what I said, a bit of class. So I'm not saying this is a classy show like that, but where else would you hear mountain greenery? I'll bet you dollars of donuts and you buy the donuts. Then you never even heard that song, no less that version of the song, which you didn't see in a movie that it was recently shown, heard in there. Right? So that goes for a lot of you younger people too. And it's not like I expect you to, but I think it's important to know history and the, and other generations. Remember, men always wore hats. It's important to know that because you see where you came from. It's like, because it's evolution. And there are, now I'm doing a whole nother show here, and I don't want to do this show. What I want to do is talk about Mondo Greens with Tom Savino. So I'm going to have to get him shortly, because I still have 7 minutes, because I like to be on the money. I'm going to tell you, we're going to have John Biner on this show about his new book. What's it called? Wait, I have it right down. I have it. I don't have it. I have a little icon of it. So I'll give you another. What's it called? Oh, that's on. It's on my other computer. It's not even here. Anyway, you can buy the book. We'll promote the book. John Biner, B-Y-N-E-R. And I don't know how to tell you where to go and find him. There was a John Biner show. And as you know, everything from that era, and I've said this before, if you hear a name, you younger people, and you don't recognize it, well, you don't have to be that much younger to not know some of these names. Because that generation is already fading into fade land. You know what else represents, just to give you an idea that I'm talking about rude and stuff like that, I'm going to give you the perfect example. The parade of shows, cartoon shows, and that put together originally started it was started by the Simpsons, but no, it was moved up. It was pushed into another level by Seth MacFarlane, who I happen to like, and who has a lot of class, by the way. He has albums with songs like that. He takes a whole orchestra and goes on a road. He understands and appreciates that. And a lot of the things you hear on Family Guy and American Dad, a lot of the references are going to fly over the heads of many people who like those shows. But make no mistake about it, the shows are based on more contemporary language, more accepted. That's not the kind of class that I'm talking about. It's not Mountain Greenery class or Mondo Green. And we're going to talk about Mondo Green. So there. So that's it. So it's not to say that I don't enjoy some of the podcasts and and it doesn't have anything to do with me. It has to do with just looking at it from the point of view of having, a certain amount of knowledge beyond my own generation. Something I think that I've said from the very beginning of this show, not this show, but the entire series of the show, which goes back years and years to when there was a problem with my complete digital setup, which there is again today. How many years have we gone by and I'm still having, I shouldn't say that because there's many years I had no problems. But I got to tell you, I don't want to tell you. Forget about that. It's not, I don't want to go into some things that I shouldn't go into. I'm going to go into what Tom Savino's been doing lately. I'm sure he'll be telling us. And I'm sure he has a whole bunch of things here in the newest stuff. It's just that not only did I want to have Tom on again or more often, it's just that when we did the Mondegreen show, it was after that that I was reminded of a number of things we didn't talk about because that were on topic because, you know, some we went off topic into other areas of language and, you know, funny things about what we say, what we do, how we live, what we wear, where we go, who we see, you know, what we smell, how we smell. Howie Smell, remember him? Yeah, I went to sixth grade with Howie Smell. My name is Frank Cotola, the man's name adorns the title of the show. We're also going to have Brock LaRob, if you're listening, Brock, again, we had to cancel that one time Brock was going to be on because that's when we lost the computer again, because of the sound SSDs. Wait a second, which one? STDs are the sex. That's the sex. Viruses, right? And SSD is supersonic disk. Every time I see that, I go supersonic. It's not. It's solid state, for God's sake. We got a new solid state. We have a solid state that served us well, and suddenly it didn't work. So we had to get another solid state. And they are good. They make the things run fast and everything. But, you know, when they go, they go. That's it. Gone. What was that I saw? Oh, I was watching Bedazzled. Yes, I was watching Bedazzled with my old pal Dudley Moore and Peter Cook when they were a team. Hey, it was on the other night on TCM. TCM, it's Solid State Disc. No, that's another thing altogether, an acronym. Tick'em. TCM, a movie called Bedazzled. It was remade later with Brandon Fraser, but, you know. And there was some dated stuff, but it had class. It was a classy movie about the devil and the devil and Dudley Moore. Maybe it could have been called The Devil and Dudley Moore. Poor Dudley. Gone, but not forgotten, believe me. But Dudley, and I was watching that, and what did I say? Why did I bring that up? The mind is a terrible thing to waste. The mind. That was a slogan for the United Negro College Fund. You see these pieces of things that are in my head? You don't hear this stuff. And I can't complain, but I did, and that's it. We're going to have Brock LaRob, that's what I said, again. We'll have him on again, I promise. And a number of other people, including Dr. David Rice. We're going to have him back on. And as we lead up to what is the I better get this here because if Tom's going to be right on time, I'm going to have to call him. I'll try and call him now. There'll be tons of stuff here. What star call here? Let's see what happens. Yeah, call on what Skype. There's that sound. Geez, that's so loud. Let's see if he's ready. Because it is exactly almost. Listen to me. Down, down, down. He's still, yeah. He's watching the, are the Yankees on? Is he going to answer? It's still ringing. That's amazing. It usually would stop by now, right? It doesn't say he's not online. Thomas J. That's it. Savino. Thomas J. Middle initial J. Wow, listen to that. It must be on because it's ringing. Yes.
I got it. It all came back to me.
I just asked, are the Yankees on?
It's a rain delay.
Oh.
Like they need more delays. And
well, maybe Keir will show up and they'll have a Keir delay. Is that a Mondegreen? No, it's not. I was just telling everybody about all sorts of stuff and, bringing it right up to this 9:30. Is that what you were watching? What happened? You fall asleep?
No, no. I was eating hurriedly to make it to the show. So if I vomit on the show, well, nobody will see.
You
it.
Won't vomit,
but you might hear it. That's probably a Mondegreen somewhere in there. You know what the big Mondegreen was this week?
You found one this week?
I mean, no. This was like everywhere you looked. On the news.
Okay. What?
The great masked The great mask debate.
Wow, I didn't hear that one. The mask debate, right.
Yeah.
Mask debate.
In fact, John Oliver did a whole thing about it. He just showed clip after clip. Everybody said, and now everybody's talking about the great masturbate.
Yeah, it was when you say it, what else do you hear?
Yeah.
Mask debate. The mask debate. I didn't hear anybody say mask debate, so I didn't catch it, I guess. I kept turning to see if he was on. I don't know. It just doesn't matter. I don't have to tell the story, but I don't know why I kept missing it. And then they repeat it, and I go, no, repeat it, and I missed it. And now I can only get one channel until, oh, I don't want to go into that story. Let's, okay.
I'm sorry.
What?
Sorry to hear that you're TV list for a while.
No, I don't want to go into it. It doesn't matter. It'll fix itself up. It's not certainly something. But there are plenty of other people with bigger problems out there these days than, you know. I'm trying to stay humble about things I get perturbed about. Because, you know?
Yes, I know.
Yeah. And, you know, I hear I'm getting pissed at something, and I go, gee, you know, for God's sakes. You know, you're working, they're not working. They're not this. You're eating, they're not eating. And I'm going, what am I complaining about these?
It was a rough week for me. Very,
why?
Very rough week. I had to call my therapist urgently.
Well, what's her real name?
Huh?
What's her real name?
I think she'd rather be anonymous.
She don't want to be called urgently. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was enraged by what's happening with this country.
You are so ingrained in this.
My freaking country.
I know you have been.
Tears.
Okay. Well, before
oh,
we
God,
get.
Oh, God. Yes.
Okay. Well,
oh,
be,
man.
I got a bunch of Mondegreen stuff to talk about, but we got time. So, give us a little more of this. What this week sent you to your therapist, Mrs. Urgently?
Beating American citizens just so that it looks authoritarian for those people who love authoritarianism, which just alone makes me enraged that there are people in this country, there's a significant number of people in this country that gravitate towards authoritarianism. They want this fascist rule. They want the king. That's antithetical to who we are.
Well, they make excuses for it. I mean, of course you're right, but people like to channel their anger, which has nothing to do with them, their country, or anything. Probably has to do with their mommy or daddy, right? Well, you don't know. And,
Lord knows. Yeah, I mean, that's something I'd like to know more about.
Your mommy and daddy? You knew them. You knew them
no,
well.
No, about why, what makes people psychologically in tuned, you know.
I think it's that simple. I don't want to say that I know that much about psychology, but I think that there's many ways people channel, anger, and they want to be part of something that they want to be part of. You know what else? It's, cause I was reading inside of the Mondegreen stuff that I read about. Here's what came up. What came up were two things which fit into this, what you're talking about. One of them is confirmation bias.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And the other one, cognitive dissonance.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Those are two big factors in what we're going through right now.
And they're psychological.
Oh, yes. I just imagine there's a group of people in that cinder block bunker in Moscow. So they turn up the cognitive dissonance. Okay, now they're about to turn up. Let's give me a little more on that. What was the first thing you said, which was
confirmation bias.
Confirmation bias.
Turn down the bass too.
Fox News could not exist without confirmation bias. I mean, we all are victim to it to some degree, you know.
Yes.
But man, yeah, it's like. Another thing that happened this week besides my being raised? I was suspended from the Nextdoor platform.
Hold on a second. The Nextdoor platform?
Yeah, there's a digital platform called Nextdoor, and it is the immediate neighborhood, or you could go for a little further than the immediate neighborhood. You know, I live in Burbank, but I'm on Burbank and North Hollywood.
Right.
Neighbors, yeah. Mm-hmm. So anything that's happening in Burbank and North Hollywood, and it, admittedly, the platform is kind of designed for neighbors to say, "Hey, what do you do about raccoon?" You know, like ask other neighbors. That, right. There's a lot of that stuff, mm-hmm. and that's fine. And I appreciate a lot of that things. I got some answers to things because of that. A neighbor found a miss. You know, I don't go to the market. I have things delivered to me, and the market delivered my things to some neighbor, and I was able to track it down through this platform. But in my rage that I was feeling this week, I made it as non-political as possible. I just posted this fact, because I had just gotten off watching Chris Hayes on MSNBC. Where a United States Postal Worker union person was sounding the alarm, saying our supervisors there's a new Postmaster General who's he got the job because he's a contributor to Trump.
Oh, okay.
That's his only qualification. And since he started, which is like a couple of weeks ago, now the supervisors are telling the carriers, hey, you know, go home. Don't finish. You don't need to finish your rap. Go home. Take tomorrow off. And the mail is already piling up. And they're going to, you know, they're going to, this new Postmaster General, his name is DeJoy, ironically. DeJoy is, he's sticking it to us, DeJoy stick. And I think we've already seen the end of Saturday delivery. I think there will be no more Saturday delivery.
We have
all this is designed to hold up mail-in ballots.
And today, of course, this is going to be one for the time capsule. Those of you who are keeping track of, I'm getting everybody. I've been doing this for years, telling people to put one of these shows or two of these shows or parts of these shows into your time capsule, you know. But first I have to convince them to actually make a time capsule. But still, yeah. We want to be in it.
Yeah,
because it's not generic. You play this 10 years from now, it means nothing. But anyway, today, where the man, what he said, you know, we may have to delay the election. Yeah. And remember, I think
saw this coming.
It was a crucial response. See, and mm-hmm. I telling everyone that, it can't happen here. You know, the real Nazism, you know, mm-hmm. It wouldn't happen here because people are too used to, things like laws and stuff. And that wasn't the case in Germany. It was never the case in Russia, you know? So mm-hmm. they were more susceptible to things like this. But my point being that as soon as he said that, the first person to make a statement was Moscow Mitch.
Really? Is that true?
That's absolutely. Yes. And he said,
so Moscow Mitch says, no way we're having the election.
He said, you know, never in the history of this country has there been anyone to call for a delay in a federal election? And it certainly can't be the president because it's not in the Constitution. So right. We'll have that election on the 3rd. Now, if,
that's right.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is if this was, you know, if he had the kind of power that, mm-hmm. you know, equaled the resemblance to a Hitler or something or a Mussolini.
Right.
If he yes. had that, the guy, you know, he would be dead. They'd take him away and put him in jail for saying that.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. That's true. And
so a whole bunch of other people.
I'm glad we're not that far down the path, you know.
Now, but could there be someone who would fit the profile? Because, you know, there has to be some, you know, Hitler was nuts and he had a very, very small penis. But.
And it looked like a mushroom.
But he was smart before he, you know, completely drugged out. Mm-hmm. He knew what he was doing. He understood socialism. You know, he understood history, right? I mean, that's how he put it all together. Yes. You can't get a dumbbell. A dumbbell can't do it. And that's what I have to say. That's why I don't have a shrink and I run to him.
Well, that's, yeah, but there's so many, you know, on the list of how to be a fascist, he's checked everything off.
Yeah.
I do feel good about what you're saying now. I did not hear about Mitch McConnell.
I saw him say it.
Wow.
He went out of his way to get it videotaped, and it was on all the, I can't say all the stations. I don't watch all the stations at once. Anyway, I just worry about, I mean, I get.
I should call you more often.
I get mad and I, you know, and stuff and see it and what have you. And it's ridiculous because we feel like our hands are tied anyway. And because ultimately we've dealt with stupidity like that growing up. You know, I had an incident happen to me before the election with somebody in this neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And that night was a show, and I did the entire show on here's what you're getting, because knowing Donald Trump was knowing all the elements of uneducated people. I'm not making fun of people like, you know, our fathers in that generation, what have you, but let's face it, you know, they were, mm-hmm. you know, they were unschooled and they were, you know, and they went, whatever.
Yeah.
They just had different understandings of things, and they weren't as worldly as the next generation. Okay, so the point is I sat there, and I remember because Ray was on the show because he used to hang out with me during that year. I'm saying, geez, I should go back and play that show, but I don't want to because it's going to look like a big I told you so. But I said all this stuff. I said, look here, this guy will never, ever be accountable for what he says. And a lot of the things he says, he'll say out of, and here we go again. What? There's a,
Somebody came in the studio here.
And,
my wife.
Oh, okay. Hi, Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl.
She knew I was on. I hope.
It's okay.
It's not urgent.
Oh, you mean something's wrong? You have to go?
I told her to go away. So.
My point being that there's familiar things that you and I know from living in New York. And let's face it, he's just happened to be a rich kid, but he was still that environment, Queens, New York, you know, everything, right? And we knew these people. We were at odds with our parents, our uncles, or, you know, the out of the generation about things because you would ask them why, and they don't tell me why. I used to tell everybody on the show when I do stories about my father and stuff. I tried to be as loving as possible. But I know, so you remember these words. This is how my father was accountable when he said something and I asked him a question about it. He would say 5 words. You know what I mean. You know?
Yeah.
We didn't have the, you know, and this guy is treating the country as if it's, you know, there's still kids who just have to take it that way. And we don't, we've come a long way since then, you know?
But that's good, very good analogy. And we've seen him back in the 70s, Trump, you know, and what he did to Brooklyn, what he did to Coney Island.
Yeah.
Steeplechase, all that.
I just thought I didn't know. I usually don't get political on the show unless somebody wants to. But you know, I have, if you've read some of my tweets, I have not been kind to Representative, Scott. I'm just having a ball with that guy.
I sometimes join in with that. So
he
doesn't
sure
know, but I'm not in his district, but yeah.
He doesn't care. He's in there. But anyway, you are going to talk today, about, and I was telling everyone, because at the beginning of the show, when I do that little collage, I played a version, an old version, which was re-released of a song called Mountain Greenery.
Mountain Greenery.
You remember? You remember that song, right?
Yes.
From a play or whatever it was, and it's done by a million people. It showed up in the Woody Allen movie Cafe Society. But it was the perfect version because when I did the blog for this show, I put Mondo Greenery, which in itself was a mondegreen of Mountain Greenery.
Mountain Greenery, Mondo Greenery. Yeah. Very good. Yeah.
And, so I did that and we would talk about what we're going to talk about. And I also told everyone what I told you, which was, God, there were so many things I forgot. Because we went off just like we went off right now for those people wanting to hear about the Mondo Greenery. So that's what I did. But I have a bunch of that stuff and we should get to that. Then we could, if we have time after that, we want to talk about other stuff. But, what can we talk? What are we going to do?
Go on.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad you feel better. At least you had somebody to run to.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to tell you what did she tell you? Secrecy or?
Not at all.
How'd she help you?
I particularly go to her because before she was my therapist, she was my yoga teacher.
Mm-hmm.
She's still a yoga teacher. And, she incorporates for me a lot of yoga and breathing and specific things to heal my nervous system. I have a very damaged nervous system because of much psychological trauma, and these last 3.5 years have not helped that.
Man.
So basically she told me to do a particular yoga thing and breathe she's teaching me the chronology of getting into these states that I was in this week and how to recognize that I am and how to combat that with action, with some kind of action. So,
having gone through any number of, emotional, mazes through the past decade now, I wound up living alone. You've been here, so you know how I live. I mean, it's just, alone. And I found that because I live alone, not only live alone, but who can hear me if I scream? A cow? It's like no one hear me anyway. Screaming and punching things has really gotten, to be a very good, therapeutic, I should say, a very therapeutic. That, now I figure if I connect that with hydroxychloroquine, I could pop.
That'll do it. Yeah.
It's funny. I hear the name of that and I think about are Hydrox cookies. I go,
hydroxychloroquine.
So anyway, there were things that I forgot and some of them very funny. So let's get, mm-hmm. What did you remember? Did you remember a lot of other mondegreens?
Well, there's since we started our discussion tonight with politics and America, there's America the Beautiful. There's the famous America, America, God's Chef Boyardee.
Oh, my God, no. Did anyone imagine someone thinking that? And we don't even know, that was written by, the guy who only wrote stuff in C, the guy who wrote White Christmas, right? What was his name? Why did these things start escaping me? I have too much in my mind now. What's his name?
Irving Berlin?
Yes, Irving Berlin, right?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is when he wrote that, was there a Chef Boyardee product? And it doesn't negate it as a.
Chef Boyardee is pretty old, so I don't know. But it doesn't matter because it, becomes.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You're right.
When you first hear it and you know Chef Boyardee, you say, oh, Well, I could just hear a kid say, "Ask God, is Chef Boyardee God?"
Is Chef Boyardee? You mean is still on the shelves? Do people still eat that?
I believe so. It was actually a big hit in the early days of the pandemic, when there were just, you know, the shelves were empty with things and people were buying canned this and canned that.
Yeah, because pasta was big. People bought a lot of pasta.
Yeah, what's up with that? I don't get it. I went there.
It's cheap.
I got some pasta. What the?
It's cheap and it's you know, a lot of people. You can feed a lot of people.
There's your answer.
Yeah. It's your answer. I knew it. It's not my
answer.
Which
is why it was popular with the Italian immigrant too, you know. That's why it began. And potatoes for the Irish, you know.
Okay, let me start by saying that what I remembered, and then I was reminded of one that I've told, and I forgot that it counted. Personal ones.
Oh, sure, yeah. Personal ones.
Now,
yeah.
We talked about the Beach Boys personal one. That's a personal one. But something that dates back, let me tell you this one, because this may be the best one, I think. Mm-hmm. And I'm not ashamed to tell you how stupid it is, but I was seven or eight. You know, you went to Catholic school, but you know, I went to religious instruction. You know, we had the Catholic thing when we were growing up.
Yeah.
Not because we knew how to believe in anything, but because they told us this is what you do. Again, you know, back to that generation. But I remember being taught the main prayers that, of course, we would have to say in multiples.
Recitations or?
Yeah, in multiples, we'd have to say, of course, when we went to confession, and they would say, yeah, 16 Our Fathers. And
oh, yeah, right.
Which I always laughed at to myself because I was, you know, you're afraid to laugh into the people's faces.
The prescription.
Yeah. 15 Our Fathers and 3 Hail Marys. And I have this vision of 16 priests, and I'm laughing as I do it and I'm trying to get through it. But I want to go back to like the first time I learned it twice. When I learned to say the Hail Mary. Okay. Yeah. And this is why this is embarrassing. It's embarrassing what I'm going to tell you, what I heard and what I said for years. Years I said it before someone told me that's not it. And that, really, I mean, I was.
Those are always embarrassing moments. I've had a number of those, but go ahead. What was it?
And it fits into all the things that we say are stupid about people, that do it. It's like one you just said. Chef Boyardee, why would someone think that was right? It's wrong altogether, right? It doesn't even make... Yeah. Well, here's one that I confess to, because I've never been afraid of showing how stupid I am on this show, because if it's funny. So this will get you a laugh. For those of you out there who do not know, these are the two main I don't know what they are anymore. These were the two main Catholic prayers. Our Father, which was about God, who art in heaven, and what I remember of it. Mm-hmm. And there's one for Mary Magdalene. Oh, it was Mary. Not that Mary.
Yeah.
That's another Mary altogether.
The Blessed Virgin.
The Blessed Virgin Mary. There was one about her. It was this Hail Mary. A lot of people only, you know what's amazing? There's kids who like football, and they have no idea when someone says, look, it's a Hail Mary pass. They don't know what they're talking about.
That's
right.
They
really don't know.
Yeah.
But they use it. That's pop culture for you. Okay, here we go. Let me get into it. Hail Mary. This is how I learned it. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee.
Okay.
Here's what I heard for the next one. I want to say clearly and not laugh. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. in those days they talked, you know, it's like, what did I think? It was kind of like, that's the way they talked. Thy, which you knew from watching old movies in English, you know, whatever.
Right.
Whom? And who knew at 7 how to use the word whom? And who? Who knew the difference, right?
Yeah.
So the blessing of the fruit, does remember, kids right. out there, Mary had, supposedly had Jesus, and, it was immaculate conception. In other words, her and Joseph didn't get it on till later with other people. but, so she had it, so God implanted her with this person who came out to be Jesus. And, mm-hmm. and it's actually blessed is the fruit of, wait, of thy womb.
Of thy womb, right. comma,
yeah.
Jesus.
Right, because he came from the womb of, and he's blessed, because it wasn't Joseph's sperm. It was God's sperm, I guess. God's sperm.
Right. Which is, God's sperm. Well, remember, Chef Wardy. Chef Wardy.
And I would, and nobody ever stopped me. I mean, we used to, when we were kids, you'd say it aloud. So I'm, you know, and it was, blessed is the fruit of thy home. And I was saying it, and nobody stopped me and said, what are you saying?
That's, you know, there's another one, in front of my face here on the screen. I've never heard this, but I could get it. Kids doing saying the Pledge of Allegiance and saying, I led the pigeons to the flag. I led the pigeons to the flag.
That's not even that, it's not that close, but I led the pigeons. And see, but if you're a kid, you could, that's what I mean. I don't make excuses for people and their mondegrins.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I also found out that, what?
Yes. No, I just read another funny one. If you want me to go for it.
Yeah, go for that one, and then I'll tell you what else I've
got. I'm not familiar with the song, as the song is Every Time You Go Away.
Oh, yeah, yes, I know that. Go ahead.
By Paul Young.
Yeah.
And it says, every time you go away, you take a piece of meat with you.
You take a piece of meat. Yeah, every time you go away, you take a piece of meat. So someone, and, did anyone stop and go, was the guy a butcher and they lived together and he worked? She left and she took three sirloins with her? What? How do you even make sense of that?
Take a piece of meat.
Yes, that was one of them that I know we, where is it? Where is that? Oh, that's the wrong side. Here. Yes, that one I had right here, right? Every time you go away. You take a piece of meat.
It's all coming back to me now.
What?
Now I remember the song. No, I remember the song now.
Go ahead.
No, it's okay.
Oh, you do remember the. Oh, I thought you were just going to sing it.
Then. I was just reading it and I say, I don't remember the song. But now that you sang a little bit of it, I do remember.
Yeah, just a little bit of it. This was, and now I didn't know this back then, when back then being when we did it. I didn't realize that mondegreen is actually a mondegreen. The word mondegreen is a mondegreen.
Is that right?
Let's yeah. That is right. And look at that. Sylvia Wright was a author. Mm-hmm. I don't know how far back this goes. It sounds to me like 20s or maybe 30s. I mean, her name sounds familiar, but I don't know what she wrote. You can look it up. Or, anyway, there's a poem that her mother mm-hmm. used to say to her. And it's it's an Irish poem, or Scott, maybe it's a Scottish poem. And there's a line in it where they talk about this dead famous Scottish person. They laid him on the green. They laid him.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I remember the story now. And somebody, her mother thought it was.
Sylvia Wright. Thought they said Lady Mondegreen.
Lady Mondegreen, yeah. Lady Mondegreen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Lady Mondegreen.
Lady. And now, I don't know, we don't know how her mother spoke, but if she had a certain, Northern England, Great Britain, it might have sounded like that because, the way they said things, it's like Sean Connery shying ever during with the shh, 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 you put the shh, shh. Right? Shut up. Too high, though.
It's apparently 1954 she said that.
I was wrong.
That's when it became coined. The San Francisco Chronicle.
There you go. So I was wrong, but there was still that, you know, that class of generation was still there.
Lady right? Mundegren. Yeah, so now here's, there's one I never heard of. There's the Rolling Stones song.
You can do Beast of Burden? Go ahead. You can do Beast of Burden.
Yeah, Beast of Burden. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Beast of Burden. There, yeah, here it is. I'll never leave your pizza burning.
I'll never leave your pizza burning. That, you know, that sounds a lot like it.
That, yeah. Yeah, that could go. Oh, but just to go back to a personal Mondegren.
Yeah, go ahead.
My parents purposely let me continue this Mondegren.
Oh, they were cruel, right?
Until I was like 12 or something, because they thought it was so cute. Because I would, you know, with the adult family saying, what's your favorite building? The Umpire State Building. They got a kick out of that.
So they just continued to do it.
Yeah, they didn't say, no, Tommy, it's the Empire State Building.
Let me give one here that you created, which you probably don't remember, or you will remember. And that is from a Young Rascals song, My Baloney's Too Long.
Oh, yeah.
I never forgot.
My baloney's too long.
You people, and we want you people, what you do, if you don't know these songs, look them up on YouTube. You'll hear it there. Young Rascals, I've Been Lonely Too Long. And Tom was, My Baloney's Too Long.
My baloney's too long. My baloney.
It's the Mondegreen chorus. The background Mondegreen singers. That, you know, I don't understand. Now, I just thought of this like right now, and I wonder if anyone ever brought, like, you know, four guys or guys and girls or whatever, four musicians and singers on a stage and called themselves the Mondegreens and sang them all wrong.
Hey, maybe, yeah, like the whole thing is
what an idea. What a great idea. What a
great.
This Cotolo Chronicles, Tom Savino is with me again here too, and I remind everyone, as I told Tom this week, that here's what, and I'll tell you, Tom, now as we move along, I'm going to have to download Zoom, because a lot of people still on a Skype, and more people, of course, are going to Zoom.
Zoom, yes.
It's a shame your father's not alive to invest in another wonderful thing like Skype, which is, that was cruel. I'm sorry. But anyway, I got to get Zoom. You know why? And I kept saying I don't need it because I just don't need it, you know? But I gotta get it because it's the only communication thing that communication software that belongs to John Biner.
Oh yeah. Oh, okay. So if we want to get Biner on Chronicles, we'll have to Zoom.
Yeah. So I gotta get a Zoom.
I already got Zoom.
Yeah, I figured that.
My half of my life is on Zoom. My therapist, I can't see my therapist. I told you I saw my therapist. I connected with my therapist by Zoom. So, you know.
Do you remember, and I did this to, I said this to someone recently, not, maybe of the generation before, no, after us. I started, we told my Zoom, and I just went, we're gonna Zoom, 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 Zoom. We're gonna, and I said, remember that? And she was like, what? You know, remember?
What is that?
Show Zoom? No. Not only do they don't only know Zoom, they don't know that if they ever watched the original Electric Company, that it was Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. Holy shoot.
No one remembers.
Yeah, that's right, Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
I just saw him on one of my favorite movies, The Shawshank Redemption. Get busy. Either get busy living or get busy dying.
Hope is a good thing. I didn't do him well. I did him like Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. That's
another thing. You know, I had to watch, you know, I love the movie Unforgiven. Have you seen Unforgiven?
Oh, yes. I love that movie.
And it took me so long. How many times have I watched it? And I didn't get the one thing that is so important in that when he kills Gene Hackman. because he comes back because Morgan Freeman, of course, is the guy. It was his partner, and they killed him. They slaughtered Morgan, his partner, played by Morgan Freeman.
Right.
And so he comes back because he's an old, you know, he was trying to not be a horrible killer anymore. But there's a part in the movie where the Clint Eastwood's character, Money, not Eddie Money, because he probably has enough Mondegreens himself, but Ed, whatever his name was, Money, M-U-N-Y. Anyway, there's a part where he's confessing to Morgan Freeman. They're around this, and you see, tell me if you got this, and maybe you didn't get it either, but I got it after the 250th time. So he's telling him about this guy that he shot a long time ago when he was a bad guy. But now he didn't. He got married. He settled down, but his wife died. Okay. So he's going to have to go do something bad just for the money. And he's feeling different about it now, you know? And he talks about a guy. He said, remember that guy? Remember that guy I shot? Shot him in the face and his teeth came out the back of his head. You know, he told me, right? And he says, he didn't deserve that. He's talking about how, you know, how can I be that guy, right?
Right
before he kills Gene Hackman in the ultimate scene of this movie, Gene Hackman is already on the floor and he's going to do away with him. He's shot already, but he's going to put him to, you know, he's going to send him to his place. He's going to send him to hell, right? And Gene Hackman says, I don't deserve to die this way. I was building a house. Because he was, you know. And Clint Eastwood says something, I'll never forget how he said it, and now I understand the whole movie at such a different depth. He goes, before he pulls the trigger, he goes, deserves got nothing to do with it. And I didn't realize, because every time I've seen that movie, I didn't realize there was a connection, a very big connection to the character based on that other part. And I don't think... And so I talk like that. Deserves got nothing to do with it. What a great...
That's probably my favorite Eastwood movie.
Yeah. I don't have many other ones that I really like, but that one, you're right, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
And, I had another one of mine.
Okay. You mean a personal one?
Yeah, I got a personal one. Actually, I have two personal ones. There's a song called And I Really Want to See You Tonight, right? That was a big one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm in my 30s, and when that's out, I'm in my 30s. And I swear, he's singing, I'm not talking about millennium. And I don't, millennium, millennium. And it meant now I actually made sense. I went, yeah, that's a pretty good way to put it because he wants to see her and the millennium's of a long time away.
Yeah,
he just wants to
it
see
it. It makes
her.
Sense. It's actually kind of better, I think. and you're gone with the millennium.
I was so disappointed. I'm not talking about moving in. Moving in. I went, moving in.
Yeah. It's kind of like the one in Friends where, you know, was it better to say, I talked to folks out of making you cut off your hair or cut off your hand. And it may have been better if it said, millennium.
It was good. I mean, the Beach Boy thing was, that was more abstract. It was a stronger, thank you. Now we're defending that's what I should have called, defending Mondegreens.
Now here, I came across an interesting thing in my study this week about Mondegreens.
Go.
And, historical context. It's like things. This what I'm about to tell you fits in with what I learned in my teaching as an English teacher studies about how language changes. You know,
right?
A lot of language change is Mondegreens that you know,
right?
That people. And it's now, it's this. Now it's millennium. I'm not talking about millennium. From now on, it's
millennium.
So, like for instance, in the early days, the phrase was to refer to a salamander. A phrase was an oot, second word, E-W-T. Anut.
Wait.
But it became Anut. Anut. Oh, so now it's Anut.
And who refers to salamanders? I mean, what? That's a specific
old English
thing.
People. Old English people. A lot of this is old English stuff.
So there were fishermen then.
Yeah, for instance, we're familiar with the term a nickname. You've heard the term a nickname.
Yes, nickname.
But it's really from the phrase an eponym. An eponym.
But is that another language?
No, it's old English.
Old English. Ye old English. By whom, Jesus? where's my other? Yeah, go ahead. You got more? Go. What do you got?
And we, today we go to the store and get an orange. We go and buy an orange that we peel. Well, it was originally a narange. Narange.
They were called naranges?
Yeah.
Narange. Well, where did that originate? What's a narange?
And it was N-A-R-A-N-J. N-A-R-A-N-J. A narange. Now that one, I have to check, that might not be English, might be from some exotic place where oranges came from originally. I'll have an orange. You have any naranges? Yes, we have no
banana. We have no naranges. Narange. That's a catch.
Yeah.
Someone told me this one. Oh, yeah, and you got more of those?
Well, there's a, this one is,
go ahead, language say, changing.
It's a common term. We say, he's the spitting image of so-and-so. Yeah. The spitting image was originally spit and image. Spit and image.
Oh. Were they a vaudeville team?
Yes, and they did. Who was on first with a spitball?
Okay. I was going to say, and I am going to say it right now, that if we get into that, we did a show, God, I don't know, who knows when. It was about all of the things we say naturally that are in the lexicon of our regular speech that were originally, they go right back to how Shakespeare, the words that Shakespeare used for certain terms, you know, in context of the play, that there are things we call and say that are actually from plays that caught on.
Yeah.
That's
I think I heard that show.
Do you know any offhand? I don't, I mean, I know there's a, it's a huge list, but I,
the image of a nail comes to mind, nail in a door, a nail, dead as a doornail.
That could be, head as one.
Dead as a doornail.
Things that people, say, because if you, that's a good one too, because when was a doornail not dead? What? So anything could fit that. Any object. That is a sword.
That is a doornail.
As a blade of sword. But he decided, well, that's because it had a rhythm to it as that kind of poetry did. Dead as a doornail, right?
Of course, that was lyrical. Very important to him.
Because he was lyrical.
Yep.
Not just,
it was definitely musical, wonderful, incredible, the incredible William Shakespeare.
How about the person who sang this? I left my brains down in Africa. I left my brains down in Africa.
One last historical thing.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
And then this one has a, I take umbrage to this because, the term is Welsh rarebit. Welsh rarebit.
Yeah, that's a food.
A dish or something, right? And I used to think it was Welsh rabbit.
That's what I thought too. I thought it was they used to eat. They, people in Ireland.
Yeah.
Cause they got tired of potatoes or whatever and they started killing rabbits.
Yeah. Well, Well, the thing is, originally it was Welsh rabbit. How it became Welsh rarebit, I don't know.
So, this is etymology, H-E-T-Y, is that it? Is this etymology? Yes, origin of words, right?
It is.
Yeah, etchy.
The course I took with, my God, some of the things that come into my memory is, I can't think of where did I leave my keys? But I can think of, Professor Noguchi, language differences and language change was the subject of the course, yeah.
Where was that? College?
At California State University of Northridge, on the road to getting my teaching credential.
Oh, right. Okay. You say college, I immediately think of our college. Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So you learned a lot. You learned a lot of etymological.
I did.
Here we go again. Yeah. Making, what do? We put extensions onto words? No, what do we do? What do we do to words? Or what do people try to do when they're talking?
I think of the term of doing that is, because there is a term to do that. Yeah. Like to make a word into an adjective is a general rule for that. You know, it's kind of like they always use the example of Watergate, you know, the Watergate. Everything is a gate. So now everything is a gate. Any scandal is a gate, you know, that's a little different, but because
I don't know when it started, but you'll remember it too. When people used words like grow as a verb, let's grow the economy. Present tense, grow is suddenly a verb. Let's grow to grow, and right? And
yeah, that's a good point.
Right?
People routinely use that term, and I think originally that would kind of be—it's inaccurate.
Exactly, it's not what we. Now it's not like if someone said, we tried to grow someone said use grow this way, we tried to enhance the economy, but there was a growosity about it. You can't do that, right? A growosity. I can make
growosity.
You can make could you put osity on anything and make it to a, and what is that then? A growosity.
An adjective. If you put an osity at the end, it would be a noun.
Growosity would be a noun.
Because
it would be a thing. It's not a person or a place, it's a thing. And that's another thing. the very definition of a noun. The definition of a noun drives me nuts because persons and places are things. Why is it a person, place, or thing? A person isn't a thing. A place.
I mean, really, it should be a human, place or thing, or a creature place or thing.
Well, a place is a thing, isn't it? So in other words, what is a thing that, why is thing in there?
Well, no, a place is not a thing. You can have a thing in a place.
A house is not a home unless there's someone there. Wait a second.
Yeah, like you can have, Yankee Stadium's a thing and the Bronx is the place.
Well, Yankee Stadium is also a place. It's a place.
A thing?
Isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you could say that.
What do you mean I could?
Where are you? I'm at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. Oh, is that? Is that a human? Well, of course you know it's a place. It's a different place than if you're on River Avenue by Yankee Stadium. That would be two places.
That's right.
So,
you're right. There's a redundancy in the definition of now.
And we ask questions like that, and if I, and my father would say, you know what I mean. That's it.
Could be, the Urban Dictionary is noun would be stuff,
If it wasn't what?
If it wasn't a person, place, or thing, it's just, stuff.
A noun is a person, place. What else could it be? It would just be a person or a place. Now you see that?
Yes.
Well, then things. What would happen to things? What if you're not a person or a place, like a screwdriver? Is a screwdriver a noun?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's a thing. But a person, you can't say, well, people are screwdrivers. You can't say that. And the place is, unless there's a place called Screwdriver Square.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. It never bothered me, Frank.
Okay.
That was a person, place, or thing. It was just,
Just too many.
It fits into my confirmation bias.
Yeah, so. I know I question these things. I can't say I question these nouns. I could say that. I don't have to say I question these things. I could say I question these nouns, right? Your Honor.
You could? You sure?
Your Honor.
Yeah.
Oh, I ask you. Question these things. There was something I meant to tell you last time, even though it fits, doesn't really fit into as a Mondegreen. But, we could never sing, not that anyone wants to hear it, we could never sing the song Think of It Eskimo again.
Why is that? Think of It Eskimo.
Because it's the E word now.
Eskimo?
Yes. It turns out the word Eskimo, they were calling people Eskimos, and it's a, this does have something.
Disparaging word?
Yes. It's a distorted version of a disparaging word for their tribe.
Oh, yeah?
And people didn't want to say it, so they called them Eskimos, and they left. These people did not call themselves Eskimos.
Oh.
In fact.
This is news to me.
Well, I'll give you the news, pal. You cannot buy an Eskimo pie anymore.
Really?
It's got a new name. There's no more Eskimo pies. Think of that, Eskimo. Whatever. There's no more Eskimo pies.
It went the way of Aunt Jemima?
Yeah.
Wow.
It went the way of Aunt Jemima, Uncle Ben.
What do they call Eskimo pies?
I don't know. I didn't see it with chocolate ice thing. I don't know why.
The Washington Redskins?
Listen, they're called the Washington Football Team now.
Yeah, no, it's their temporary name.
It's a temporary name. And Seth Meyers the other night said, I sure hope they don't have a guy in a big fluffy suit running around, and they call him Mascot.
Yeah.
We couldn't use Think of It Eskimo, because you can't say Eskimo anymore.
I never, I truly, honestly, I mean, I always knew, when I was old enough, I knew the N-word is wrong and disparaging, improper to use.
It was always.
But I never, ever, I'd be going around right now if I met an Eskimo. Like, hey, how you doing, Eskimo?
And the next thing you hear is, boom, I'm getting punched in the face.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is very interesting.
So there's a fascinating thing there, how these things change. And of course, I guess what's amazing about this and all the stuff we're talking about is that from generation to generation, if you don't know history, then you stick with what you grew up with as it.
Yeah.
Which is a bad sentence to describe what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean. It's like, so people are not going to think about Eskimos. The N-word will continue to be an N-word as long as it's part of the lexicon of the African-American people when they use it themselves in various friendly ways.
Right.
That's right. You can call yourself. So that'll, be around. And everybody. I mean, boomers and zoomers, not boomers, but zoomers, more than millennials, use it constantly, even white ones. Twitter is aglow with N-words. People just saying it as if that guy or that gal. Yeah. They say it like, they take it. So that these things really blend or they reflect and they into people's
blend. Hey, by the way, using the word a blend came to mind in Dr. Noguchi's class.
Yeah,
that was a method. Not a very, very rarely an intentional method, but it was the evolution of a word is often a blend.
Oh, So I was correct in using it that way.
That's correct.
See? Gladly the cross-eyed bear, that was sung as gladly the cross-eyed bear, the cross-eyed bear.
Oh, wow.
The cross-eyed bear. That's like blasphemous, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it could be. It could be, but this is, for some reason, there's a lot of cheese mishearings.
Cheese?
Yeah, cheese is often mishearing. Like, you're the cheese in my pizza. You're the cheese to my pizza mine.
What was that? You're the cheese to my, what is that?
It's from Carole King's Natural Woman.
Oh, you make me feel like unnatural. Unnatural woman. Could be a naked
you're
woman.
You're the key. You're the words really are, you're the key. You're the key to my peace of mind.
Ah.
You're the cheese to my peace of mind.
And there's the one about the savior, the Catholic savior himself. But that was, that people thought were about Munster. And American.
Jesus.
Just the part. Right. which is also incorrect English to say it that way. Jesus is just
right.
All right.
Jesus is just all me. Right.
How many different kinds of cheeses can you put on? I like them all. Jesus is just all right with me. How about this? Midnight after your waist dead.
That's a good one.
Hey, like that one?
Yeah. That's good. Actually, thank you for reminding me of the song. I like that song. But that works.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Midnight after you're wasted, yeah.
Speaking of Jesus, how about sleep in heavenly peas? Peas.
Sleep in heavenly peas.
They had peas in the manger. They put
I once had a sweatshirt.
A young boy into a bed of peas.
And this is like in my thirties, yeah. As an English teacher, I thought it was cool to wear the sweatshirt every now and then that said, visualize world peas. Yeah. And W-H-I-R-L-E-D peas.
Well, that's all we are saying is give peas a chance. If you want to get your vegetables, give peas a chance.
Yeah.
I rewrote it once. You know, what's his name then? We talked about him too there. Amazing Arnold is not his name. Who's that guy? The guy who does the parodies. He did Beat It.
He's right here on this page.
Crazy Joe Al. Al.
Al Yankovic.
His last name was Aguri.
What is his Crazy Al?
No, it's Goofy. No, yeah, what is it? It's, you can't say retarded Al anymore. You can't say.
I hope he's not an Eskimo.
No, it's Eskimo. Hey, this, you know, can you take Eskimo? Could you say he was an Eskimonian tribal member?
Member of the Eskimonian tribe.
The Eskimonian. You can do onions to it. Remember the night I
told
Weird Al.
Weird Al,
jeez.
Yeah.
Remember the night you, and I'm going to say this right, I can't say me, right? You, Cheryl, and I we must have been up all night trying to figure out why people from certain places were either E's or Ian's or, remember we were, why are you American? Why aren't you Americanese? If you're Chinese, you're not Chinerican. Yeah. Remember we tried to figure out how did they figure that out? Who would be an Ian or an E's or a, why? I'm a New Yorker. I'm not a New Yorkese.
I suspect, I'm almost positive, there's actually rules about that.
Yeah, there must be. Well, I'm asking you. You taught this stuff.
Well, I kind of gave up on that to the point of, I'll just look it up. And even now, I look it up. Like, I'm from Burbank. But what is that, a Burbanker? Am I a Burbanker?
He's a Burbanker. He's a Burbanker. Here comes one now.
On the spot, Mondegreen.
Yeah, why aren't you Burbankian?
Burbankian, like, and you know, my daughters, all my daughters are in Utah. I said, well, what the hell are they?
Yeah, what are they, Utes?
They are.
When they're
young. They are.
They're Utes. Which is how Fred Gwynne.
Did you say Utes?
Yeah. Pronounced Utes. Utes? Did you? No, that's always Episcopo. And now, Utes? Did you say Utes? The Utes. Three Utes. The Brooklynese. It would be Brooklyn. It's Brooklynese. Now, it's Brooklynese because it's a language. Okay, but people from Brooklyn aren't Brooklynese. But the Chinese speak the language, they're Chinese. They speak the language of what they are. And yet Brooklynese is separate from being a Brooklynite.
Yes. English is very hard. It's very hard.
Yeah.
It often, you know, it often breaks the rules of, you know.
But that one doesn't.
I mean, that was a good example you just gave because people speak from China, speak Chinese.
And they are.
And they are Chinese.
Because they're from China. But,
people who speak Brooklynese are not Brooklynese, they're Brooklynites.
And they're the Ishes. The Spanish, the Ishes. The English,
The
Ishes.
The Ishes. We're studying the Ish languages.
She's got a chicken to ride. How about that one? She's got a chicken to ride. Hey, here's one.
Here's
one that's really weird. Really, really weird. I just saw someone did this.
I'm sorry. I just have to correct me.
Go ahead.
The people from Utah are either called Utahans. Either Utahans or Utahans.
Oh, come on. You tell me anyone in Utah says, we Utahans. Come on. They don't do that, do they?
Well, they probably just say Utahans. But here on this page, I don't know how reputable this page is. It's moving.com. Huh. If you want to move someplace, you need to know where you're going. You need to know what you're going to call yourself when you get there. When you get to Utah, you're going to be called a Utahan. Or a Utahan.
Now if you're a Utah, now that sounds something like scientific. Do you know how many Utahns are involved in a molecule? How many?
The Utahan bomb.
He's from the planet Utahan, right? We hear these things and yet they call them Utahns. They're not Utahnians, would enclose the whole name. Utahians. That would make sense.
Yeah, I think that they should put that on the ballot and change it to Utahnians. They never listen to me.
But listen to this. This is really strange to think that somebody thought that in the song Michelle, when Paul McCartney sings a line in French.
In French, yes.
Which means he sings it in English in another part. These are words that go together well, which in French is sans bien ensemble. And here's the mandarin of that. Here's a mandarin for that in English. They didn't know he was speaking French.
So they, and what are they making?
Sunday monkey won't play piano song, piano song. I'm not making it, you know, we make them up, but we no, that's really out there, and someone had to be completely high to think that in that song about a girl there's a Sunday monkey. What is a Sunday monkey?
Sunday monkey.
He won't play pianos. Piano song, piano song. that's way out there.
That is pretty out,
you know.
There. Yeah.
So I guess the mandarin situation does continue. I'll give you one more, and then I'll tell you another a really embarrassing one.
Embarrassing,
which is mine, personal one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which really, I mean, okay. And that was, of course, you know, the lions sleep tonight.
Oh yeah.
Of course we all know. You know, I had the guy who was the original guy from The Tokens who was on this show. And talked about how they came about with that. And there was a Netflix documentary about the guy who did that song. And it was from a tribe who eventually wound up getting royalties that somebody amazing. It's an amazing story. That song is an amazing story, because you would think it was something that was now, you know, public. What's the word?
Public domain.
Public domain. And it was just somebody picked it up somewhere. And what member of a tribe is going to get a lawyer and, you know, get, go after someone?
Maybe it was an Eskimo, though. Yeah.
Someone was singing, and people would sing, and guys would sing this because they didn't know the song, you know, Shriek, because it was a very popular doo-wop song, right?
The Lion Sleeps Tonight? Yeah.
Even though most people had no idea it came from, you know, Africa or whatever. That's where I left my brains, down in Africa. And then I heard that. I heard The Lion Sleeps Tonight. But listen, they sang, you know, they go, ooh, right? So this is what they would sing. They'd go, ooh, we oh, bombs away, bombs away,
bombs away.
And they thought it was right, because let's face it, anyone who was in a doo-wop group was dealing with a very low IQ.
Yeah. I heard a doo-wop song on the way home.
Is that that's pretty judgmental? You think that's, I mean, I think that's true.
What do you think was true?
That the doo-wop kids, those kids, the guys, I don't think that, you know, I don't think they were very, go ahead. I'm being judgmental. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You're talking about the Lions?
I'm talking about the kids who sang on the corner of the doo-wop. The ones that I knew were just, you know, some of them were gang members, and they were
52nd Street
delinquents. But go ahead. What did you bring up?
I thought of Dom Simi every time I hear this song, I think of Dom Simi.
Really? Which one is it?
Dom.
Yeah. Wait, you're not even saying it. It's dum 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 doo dum be dum dum be doo be doo. You know what is the real one? Dum 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 bo dum bo dum bo do. I don't know. I'm making them up now. There. Wait. Dum dum be doo dum dum dum. And you know this too, because we've heard. I mean, in a lot of backgrounds and stuff, and of course, there's plenty of. You know, a Beach Boys with a, you know, doms, doos, and doms, and background.
Oh, yeah.
They're not just them, but, right? Because, like you did, Baloney's in the background singing. The doms and the la-las and the la-la, doo-doo, dom-doms. That was just kind of a musical language.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from. Someone must have just made it up as they went along.
I don't know how that hat derived, but you know, there was that period before the doo-wop time when there was the scat, you know.
It's hard.
So, I mean, I don't know, maybe it derived from that, maybe. Who knows?
Okay. I'll just give you two more here, then I'll tell you big embarrassing. Mondegreen. The Mondegreen I would ever be known for. But I have to remember the name of that comedian. The comedian, oh God, he's dead now. What a great guy he was. And I keep forgetting his name. Fred? Fred Travellina. Okay, I'm going to tell you something. Fred's involved, and I'll tell you that. After I tell you these two. Here, there's a song called Losing My Religion.
Mm-hmm.
That's Let's Pee in the Corner. Let's pee in the corner. Not That's Me in the Corner. Let's pee in the corner. Losing My Religion.
And, okay, that's good.
Yeah, and my last one from Dancing Queen.
Dancing Queen.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Go ahead, tell me so.
Do you know? See That Girl.
See That Girl.
And what is the real one? The real one is what?
See That Girl.
Yeah, right. I think it's something about a scene. Watch that scene. But anyway, but what they're saying, the Mondegreen version is See That Girl, Watch Her Scream, Dig It, the Dancing Queen. See a girl, watch her scream.
Watch her scream.
Watch her. Watch her scream.
Watch her scream. That makes a lot of sense.
So anyway, here I am. Let me tell you this one. I don't know if I've told people this. I know I've, oops, there goes my buffer, my mic buffer, my mic buffer. So I'm in Vegas, mm-hmm. and I'm, having breakfast with Fred Trevelyan, who just happened to be, he was there, and, you know, it was just, you know, people met people, you know, whoever. He wasn't had anything to do with us, but he was there, and, you know, we kibitzed. And mm-hmm. so we had to say, you know, having breakfast with Fred Trevelyan and someone else, but the other people left. We were just sitting there making fun. And he pointed out, he said, you know, look who's sitting over there. And I went, I looked over, and it was Mel Torme was sitting. Mm. And this was in, like, the breakfast. You know, it wasn't in, like, a big dinner thing. It was a regular one because it was Vegas. And those people were more prevalent in those days because that was a big place for them. And I went, oh, my God. Because it was like Mel Torme was like a big thing.
Sure.
And I knew he was a big thing. And, you know, half the people still didn't know he wrote the Christmas song and other songs. And I remember him from the Arthur Godfrey show, whatever it was. And my mother used to watch it. It wasn't Arthur Godfrey. It was Bing Crosby's brother, the Bob Crosby show.
The Bob Crosby show.
Because he had Bing's brother. Okay. So I was like, wow. Oh, I said, I have got, can we? He said, do you know? He said, no, no, not at all. I said, but obviously I recognize him. I said, let's go say hello. I said, let's go. So Fred was like, yeah, sure. You know, just, I don't want to know, you know, I didn't go for it. I just, once in a while, there'd be someone you just want to go, hey, I, you know, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, and people did that and it was nice to do it. Okay. So what do? I go over and he's right there. And I went, wow. I just said to him, he's sitting there. I said, excuse me. I said to Mel Torme. I said, I don't know, if it isn't the Velvet Frog.
you said that to him?
Right to his face.
But that is, no. Isn't that his?
You see? This is Brooklyn's fault.
Oh, is it?
Doesn't it make sense? Because a frog croaked, right? Frogs, remember? Yeah. Froggy plunked your magic finger. Frogs, right?
But I thought it was the Velvet Frog because...
Well, I felt an elbow in my side. It was Fred. Fred, like, you know, fucking making, you know, it's like just fucking Mel Torme. I'm like, you know, I'm with you. It's going to reflect on me, you know? And
yeah.
Now he didn't say anything. I said, and then I just continued. I said, well, you know, I was a kid. And I said, and I really, you know, appreciate just wonderful, wonderful stuff. I said, I know you don't get enough of this from a general public because whatever I said, you know, but I was very nice to him. But so he didn't say, yeah, fuck. You know, he took it as he took it. But I was like, and I said goodbye. And Fred said hello and he said, oh, I've seen you. It was wonderful. All right. And we walked back to the booth. And I said, Jesus, I said, Fred, Jesus, that, would you hit me? That hurts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm talking to the guy, he says, it's Fog. He's the Velvet Fog. And I went, get out of here.
Velvet Fog. Fog.
F-O-G.
As in like London Fog?
Yes. He's the Velvet Fog. I said, get out of here. I said, you're crazy. I'm arguing with him. And he goes, don't fucking argue with me.
I'm glad you told me this because I would have gone the rest of my life thinking it was the Velvet Fog.
I was arguing with him and he said, don't tell me. He said, and don't say it so loud again, you know, because I'm going, come on, he's the Velvet Frog, you know. And I said it right to his face and I went, Jesus. I said, should I apologize? He says, no, let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. He didn't say anything, but he said, you're right to his face. You said, well, if it isn't the Velvet Frog, I said, if he got up and punched you, he said, I wouldn't have been, you know, I would have went, yeah, hit him. The fuck are you?
I always thought, well, first of all, Velvet, because he's got such, he does have kind of a smooth, smooth voice.
Right.
And Frog, because he kind of looks like a frog. You know?
Yeah, at that point, they were in Vegas. If someone said, now bet your life on this, right? I'd be there. Someone said, you ready? I'd be dead because I grew up. This is it. This is all. He goes, all right, just let it go. Fred was like, just let it go, right? Just eat, let it go. Don't, I couldn't believe it. I'm.
Velvet fog.
Fog. Fog.
Wow. I am now corrected too. You know my father hated him.
Yes, I do. I do. We've talked about that. I never told you that story though, did I?
No, he never did that. This is great. He hated him and his.
Oh yeah, I know.
I said, and my dad would be like your dad's explanation. I said, well, why? Why do you hate him? You know.
Yeah, exactly. We've done stuff on this show about, you know, hating, you know, hate for some reason or another, having really terrible, ugly feelings about someone you don't know, would never know, just because you've seen them or her, right? You gotta hate them. And they always did. We grew up, right? There's your father. How many times did you, I remember George Montgomery was a guy who was married to Dinah Shore, and he had this TV show. It was a cowboy, Cimarron City. Right?
Cimarron City, oh my God, yeah.
And it was, he got on there and he went, look at him, the fag. What a fag. And the family is sitting around calling, he's like, what do you know about this guy? How do you know? He's what? They hate, you know, they just, and then I realized that there were people who turned me off watching him or listening to him sing or something. And I went, yeah, I can't understand it. But we never explored that. We just accepted that stuff.
That's an interesting thing that this irrational, out of the blue, extreme dislike or hate for somebody.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things.
And if you made a list, you would, you know, you wouldn't have enough time in two lifetimes to try to understand what happened to you at the moment maybe you saw that person or you were young. When you, what one thing triggered a dislike that would last forever. You
know,
ever affect. Maybe you need to call, Dr. Urgent, see.
Yeah, I'll call Dr. Urgent.
Yeah, call. And Dr. What the hell is that? Why do I look at, why can't I watch a movie with Van Johnson? It makes no sense.
Well, you know, it's funny you're talking about this subject. But there's a legend in my family.
No, it wasn't. That go ahead.
Yeah. When I was an infant, I, you know, was a pretty normal person and a normal, you know, cried, laughed, walked, you know, played, fell, all of that. Mm-hmm. But my older sister tells the story. She witnessed a moment when I went absolutely hysterical and my mother walked into the room and I went absolutely hysterical. And my sister and my mother were saying, what happened? What's wrong? What happened? My mother would leave the room and it would be okay. And she'd come back and I was hysterical again. And it turns out they figured it out. My sister and my mom figured it out. She was wearing paisley.
Paisley.
She was wearing a paisley blouse or dress, and apparently, they were saying, "What's wrong with him?" Well, you know,
paisley.
So she changed the blouse or dress, and everything was fine.
Wow.
Probably in an, I know you don't buy this stuff, in another life, I had an incident with paisley.
How did this carry on though? I mean, today, you won't scream and yell, but will you go like, oh, I'm wearing that?
Now when I see paisley now, it makes me think of the story, but I don't say, oh my God, paisley.
Wow. So you were settled. You settled that one though. So that's not even, you know.
Yeah. It's like, what? That's weird. I don't know.
Every decision we make, every time, everything we eat, I mean, it's all related to something that happened to us as children.
Yeah.
If you can't explain it, then you say it was past lives, I guess. But the point is, there's some things that happen that are, that's why people can, you know, I mean, little things like that turn, people, you know, into monsters.
Yes. Yeah. You could be a murderer, become a murderer, you know, for something like that. So why'd you do it?
They don't know, though.
What's the Paisley?
They wouldn't know, though. That would be the story. The story is they don't know it's Paisley.
Yeah.
Unless they, you know, they caught the guy. The Paisley killer, right? Can they find him? What is nothing? These victims have nothing in common. Nah, just a Paisley. You know, it's the one had Paisley socks and the other one had a Paisley hat. And it's like, holy Christ, you're right. And suddenly it's the Paisley killer.
Like Perry Mason. We're really getting into the Perry Mason now, by the way, the new one. Really. He's a lawyer now.
Yes. Yeah. He was in the books too. And then he turned in, to a.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you read the originals?
No,
books?
But I know of, something like I know of and I've seen parts of them just like, it's like the, Dashiell Hammett things, you know, that style, that, yeah. That kind of pulp detective thing. He goes back into that era. It wasn't TV and things. And,
so it was kind of noirish.
Yes. Yes, it was noirish. Yes, it was. Yeah. And they didn't even know at that time that, I forgot his name. Who was the actor on TV?
Raymond Burr.
Raymond Burr. They didn't know he was gay.
That's right.
They kept it secret that long.
But I bet you the guy from Cimarron City did.
George Montgomery. George Montgomery. Okay, we've done it again. It's time to get out of this heat box that I'm in, and hit the road.
Hope it cools down for you there.
Well, upstairs is okay, and I have an air conditioner. But plus, the heat wave is supposed to break. It's the warmest in America, and I hear England is going to be hotter than the Caribbean, which you could say Caribbean. There's another one. I don't know.
Really?
It has a heat wave going on there. That this is the hottest in many parts of the world, the hottest July on record. And that record was sung by the Velvet Frog.
By the Velvet Frog. We were awakened this morning at 4:29 to a 4.2 earthquake.
Foghorn. I don't know. The foghorn's supposed to be smooth. All right, let's get out of here. Listen, you and I will talk again shortly. And
yes.
We'll figure out some other stuff. I'll keep you and the audience in the loop for John Biner, who's 82. He's 82, Tom.
82 years old. And if I get depressed, I'll give you a call.
Give me a call anytime because, you know, it is, after all, you know, we're around. A lot of us are around. And stay safe and wash your mask. That's what I say. Now, I tell people, stay safe, wash your mask. I also say, stay safe, wash your hands, and don't touch my face. Those are the ones. Send it out there, and then everyone will be saying it, and we'll have created a piece of pop culture language.
Yeah. Okay, Frank Cotolo.
Thank you, Tom Savino. We'll be in touch. We'll do things, and stuff will happen.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Bonsoir.
Bonsoir.
Okay, Mr. Thomas. Boo, Mr. Thomas. Boo. How would you rate this call? I'll give it 4 stars and hit the theme. See, I'm doing that with my finger. You know, this was written by one of the Bach kids. Did I ever tell you that? Yeah, a relative of Johann Sebastian. In any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, my name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. You're welcome for the wonderful, classy radio. Remember that. You know where to find us. You know where to find me. Go buy books. Go to Tom Savino's at TJ Savino on Twitter. Follow him, like the other billion people that do. TJ Savino, and he has a sound clip, soundscape. I don't even know what it's called anymore. Go there and listen to some of his fine parodies and things. And we'll be back hopefully in a cooler next week. It wasn't that bad here tonight, I might add. I did add, and. That's where we're going. Don't forget, I want you to go buy License to Skill at Amazon. I'm telling you, it's not going to be $2.99 anymore. Good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you may be located. And Okay, we've said a lot about how things are said, but now I'll leave you.
Why? Because I have nothing more to say.